right, well, let's take our Bibles now and look back in Prophet Daniel, chapter 6, where we left off last time. My text is taken from verse 10 down to verse 28. I want to speak with you about Daniel and the lion's den. This is a story that many of us remember reading, hearing as children growing up. We were raised in a home where the Bible was read. My first recollections of Daniel and the lion's den were of a flannel graph board. I don't really date myself. And the teachers literally had to cut out the figures of this little kid. And while they were telling you the story, they would move the figures so you could see Daniel for the king, and then they'd move that off the board, and they'd put the lion's den, and there were the lions, and of course, as little kids, we'd just sit there in awe, thinking about what it would be like to be down in that lion's den. And many, that's about as far as they get with the story. It's about how God takes care of his own, and that you should stand strong, stand firm before God and not fear. He'll take care of you. But the lesson really is far deeper than that, far greater than that. Because I believe, as we're going to see here in this story, that this particularly pertains to Daniel as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been seeing that all along. As God's representative, and how the Lord placed him there in that wicked nation of Babylon, just as much as God put his son in this wicked world. And the scriptures say he came unto his own received him not. So the very same oppression and persecution that Daniel would have faced in his day serves as a type and picture of how the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. And the contradiction of sinners was against him in every way. The world, Satan, and sin all stood against him. Yet we see, just as the Lord kept Daniel in his generation, caused him to stand faithful unto God, even in the worst of situations. Imagine being cast into a lion's den. And yet the Lord, he had to go through the trial. But the Lord shut the mouth of the lions. So let's see this first point here in my text in Daniel chapter 6, beginning with verse 10 down to verse 15. Because remember, these that sought to destroy Daniel got the king to put in a decree that anybody that worshipped or made a petition of any god, as it says up there in verse 7, for 30 days, save of thee, O king, that he should be cast into the den of the lions. This was the way that back then the king dealt with his enemies. These lions, they kept hungry. And they would just take and cast them down this pit. And so here, again, remember there was the Medes and the Persians were the ones who had conquered Babylon. And so here Darius, the king Darius, signed the writing of the decree. And as we saw last time, once that decree was signed, nobody could change it. So when Daniel knew, here's where we see Daniel's faithfulness as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ knowing all things pertaining to himself, it says in scripture. Yet he set his face like a flint toward Jerusalem. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. None of this changed how he worshiped his God. Just like with our Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing moved him. Nothing swayed him. In fact, many times when the crowd was about him, he'd remove himself and set himself aside to pray unto his God. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. So even here, his worship of God was public, just like with our Lord. This wasn't done in a secret place in private. Men observed him, and they observed how it was that he conversed with his Father. Many times, even in his prayer to the Father, in the face of their unbelief. You remember there in Matthew, he thanked the Father that the Father had hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and had given them unto babes, and so it pleased God. He prayed that in front of that crowd of unbelievers, unmoved. So then they came near, says in Daniel 6 and verse 12, and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? And the king answered and said, the thing is true according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king that Daniel, that is an italic, so it would be simply reading it, Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king. Now that's their interpretation of it. But it's like Peter said, when men make rules and laws that contradict the word of God, judge for yourselves whether it's better to obey God than man. And this was the situation here with Daniel. O king, they accused Christ of many things, which were not true. But because he would not bow his knee to any, not even to Herod or Pilate, when Pilate says, don't you know I have power to crucify you? The Lord said to him, you have no power but what is given of my Father. So here was a situation where they were interpreting that he had no regard for this king. Of all of those people in that kingdom of the Medes and the Persians, you probably would not have found one as a citizen more loyal to the king than he, even though he was a pagan king. But here they used it against him. O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Not just once, but three times. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased, notice, with himself. That shows here that God had given Daniel favor with this king. God does that, even with unconverted people. Joseph was such a case, where the Lord gave him favor with Pharaoh, even though Pharaoh did not know Joseph's God. And set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. This shows that he went back to the books, trying to figure out a way to deliver Daniel from what the law required. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. There's a lesson in there even with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ. That God's law had to be satisfied. And if any, they mocked our Lord. They said, well, he saved others. Let him save himself. They stood around that cross and observed him as he cried unto his Father. And they said, well, he saved others. Let him save himself. Let him come down off that cross. I'll tell you what, if Christ had come down off that cross to deliver himself, there wouldn't have been any salvation. This is a law of God. It's one thing to have a law of Medes and Persians, but this is a law of God that cannot be altered. That God's justice had to be satisfied. And just like Daniel, other than being cast into the lion's den, so Christ, other than going through the cross and being subject to the punishment and the judgment of God the Father on behalf of that people, that he came to say there was no way around it. Then Peter, he found that out with our Lord. Remember when the Lord told him that he was going to Jerusalem to suffer at the hands, and Peter said, far be it from you, Lord. And that's when the Lord said, get thee behind me, Satan, adversary. Even Peter, in his human reasoning, thought that there had to be another way other than through the cross. It couldn't be changed. It was not possible that it be changed. And so Darius, even thinking himself to make a foolish decision here in verse 14, was sort of displeased with himself, yet he did exactly what God purposed, because God was going to use Daniel as an example of what it is for him to deliver one of his own. Even though he labored till the going down of the sun, it says there, according to the ancient Eastern custom, the execution was carried out on the evening of the day that the accusation was made and found out. Our Lord was crucified in the evening. His judgment was in the evening. That was the dark hour that men took him and executed, even falsely, their judgment. But here's, again, seeing Daniel as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, then these men assembled, verse 15, unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed. The law had to be satisfied. And so, verses 16 to 18, we see where then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Isn't that amazing? That even here this wicked king had this foresight that's put here in the scripture, that God would deliver Daniel, just like God would deliver his son. Not from avoiding the cross, which is what this den of lions would represent, but through it. Now here it says, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. This is not some matter of conversion on the part of Darius. He was God's servant, God's instrument for accomplishing all that God had purposed. Just like with our Lord Jesus Christ, it says there in Acts chapter 4 and verse 28 that Herod and Pilate and all those that gathered against him did only that which God himself had purposed, down to the very detail. So then the king went to his palace, and it says that he passed the night fasting. Wasn't hungry, didn't have an appetite. That was a time to wine and dine. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. It's interesting that Daniel in the lion's den spent a more peaceable night than this wicked king did, up pacing back and forth, worried and wondering about Daniel. It says a stone was brought in verse 17, going back up there, and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. We'll talk a little bit more about that in just a few minutes here. For they took our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, and put him in the tomb and sealed it, so that none could come and take away his body as if somehow he'd been resurrected. That was their thinking. But when the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions, And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? It's interesting because he told Daniel in verse 16, I believe your God, whom you serve continually, will deliver you. And yet we find him here wondering what would be the end. Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. Here's where we see Daniel then found alive and brought out of the lion's den, even as our Lord Jesus Christ. That grave, that tomb could not hold him. He was brought forth and the tomb unsealed. Here it was very early in the morning when the women went to the tomb early in the morning, the first day of the week, they found it empty. The stone already being rolled away. And here we find that Daniel said to the king, God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. When they put our Lord Jesus Christ to death, they were doing so to be rid of him once for all. And yet, the angel stopped the lion's mouths here, and even with regard to the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the lions, and that's how they're referred to over in Psalm chapter 22, that sought to destroy him, yet they could not, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. That's a type and picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. He wasn't condemned and judged because there was any sin in him, any fault in him. Even Pilate said, I find no fault with him. But it was to be as it was because God purposed that his innocent, blameless son, that was the type of that Passover lamb, without sin, without blemish, should pass through the condemnation that he did. Then was the king exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. I believe we can see in Christ over in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7 a parable in what the scriptures say about our Lord Jesus. Here where it says, who in the days of his flesh, Hebrews 5, 7, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard and that he feared. When it says save him from death, it doesn't mean that he was saved from going through death. And this is where the type falls apart, because Daniel didn't actually die. But the picture of being cast into that lion's den is a picture of that condemnation which the Lord would have endured. And it does not say a whole lot in our text here about how Daniel spent the night. The king paced. He was uneasy and unsettled. But we can be confident that even in the midst of that trial, which he had to endure, that he was crying unto his God, looking to his God. It says here, because he believed in his God. Verse 23, our Lord didn't falter, he didn't waver. His one purpose in going through the condemnation that he did was because his Father had so commanded. And such was the love of God the Father for his Son and the Son for the Father that he could do no otherwise than to
crying to his Father. That's what we see him doing from the cross. When he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Some people take that as a general prayer for everybody. It's not. Who did God's Son have in view when he laid down his life? It was that people that the Father had given. And it was their sin that nailed him to that cross. Isaiah described it as the charge of that sin being laid upon him. The chastisement of their peace was put upon him. And that's really what we see here. Daniel is a representative, really, of all those that were the Lord's. They weren't all thrown into this lion's den, but he, the representative, the forerunner, went before. And he was heard in that he feared. And regarding Christ, verse 8 of Hebrews 8, it says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience to the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. It was necessary. Yes, he was God's son. Yes, this was foreordained from eternity. But it was necessary, just like Daniel. The law required he be cast at that lion's den. It was necessary that Christ should suffer and die and be buried, but then rise again the third day. And that's what I see here is a type of picture of him, that stone being removed, and Daniel's alive. His God having heard him, no manner of hurt was found upon him. And so the king commanded, and they brought these men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions. Them, look at here, their children and their wives. You talk about representation. Daniel was a representative of the people that God would preserve alive there in Babylon, but these here were representatives of the condemned. It's like Adam represents his race, the condemnation. Men, women, and children. There's none innocent. And the lions had the mastery of them and break all their bones in pieces or ever they came at the bottom of the den. That's an amazing thing. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. It sounds like what Nebuchadnezzar wrote after the Lord humbled him. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. Boy, that's what's missing. No fear of God. But notice again the distinction. He still refers to him as the God of Daniel. Doesn't say, my God. You can only declare him to be your God if by his spirit of grace he reveals him in your heart. And you're brought to repentance. But here he makes some true statements, and it shows how some can make some true statements. I hear people speaking of God's sovereignty and how he directs all things, and yet they don't know him. It's like Darius. For he is the living God and steadfast forever in his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. Why do you suppose God purposed that he make this declaration? It's for us. That he's given eyes to see, ears to hear. That we know that indeed, this is our God. He was the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by his grace, he's made to be our God. We're heirs and joint heirs with him. He delivereth and rescueth. He worketh signs and wonders in heaven and earth. Who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius. And in the reign of Cyrus the Persian, Darius being of the Medes and Cyrus being of the Persians. Well, there's a lot here, even as it says in verse 28 that Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Christ prospered in the hands of his Father. That's what we read in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 10, if you'll turn over there before we close.
Isaiah 53 and verse 10. It says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It was God that put Daniel in that lion's den. It was God the Father that put Christ on the cross. He has put him to grief. It was a very real experience that Daniel went through. It was a very real trial that our Lord Jesus Christ endured. Not for any sin in him, but the sin of his people that the Father gave him. And when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, here it says, he, that is the Father, shall see his seed. Who was his seed? Christ. Even though Daniel in the lion's den was hidden from the eyes of that wicked king and all the others, yet God never took his eye off of Daniel. He never took his eye off of his son. He shall prolong his days. In other words, he was not to remain in that condemnation that was put upon him, but the pleasure of the Lord would prosper in his hand. To prolong his days means that when Christ came forth from the grave, that he ever lives, never to die again. His death was for one purpose and one time. Over in Romans chapter 6 and verse 9, there's another portion of scripture. It says, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. The only reason why death had dominion was because God purposed that he should die the death that was due unto his people. But can you see how Daniel here is a type of Christ? They plotted against him, and they took him, they persecuted him, they pursued him, and yet it all, just like we read in Isaiah 53:10, the Father would see that seed and prolong his days. He was a man without blame, faithful to God in all his ways, a man noted for his worship of his Father, and was put to death because of the jealousy of those who wanted to prevent his exaltation. That's really what it was all about. Well, isn't that what they did with our Lord Jesus Christ? He was condemned to death by the plotting of his enemies and the law of the land. He was thrown into a stone cave meant to be his tomb. It's like our Lord, they took his body off the cross and put him in the grave, but it was not possible that his soul should see corruption. They rolled a stone over the opening, somehow determining that they would have power as to whether he would remain or not, and yet on the morning that the stone was rolled away, he came out victoriously and revealed himself unto his disciples. Well, there's a lot there. That's just a broad stroke. And I pray that the Lord will bless indeed what we've heard.